frequently asked questions, comparative fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting with Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, somebody asked, my mother was ill for a period of almost 13 years and couldn't fast. I know for certain that what prevented her from this duty was her need to take medicine.
Yes.
Please enlighten us if it is obligatory for her to perform the qadha of these missed fasts.
Someone who is persistently and continuously sick and remains sick is not supposed to fast. And of course, fasting is harmful for such a person. And because fasting is going to endanger his or her health. Now, when it comes to this mother, as you gave the example of a woman who could not fast for 13 years, of course, if she remained ill throughout the following year, the ensuing year, the year after the month of Ramadan, until the next Ramadan, there's no...
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
My pleasure. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You're welcome. We are still actually in the month of Ramadan, this blessed month of God, in which we try to, in fact, touch on some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start this episode with this question, Sheikh. A pregnant woman does not know whether fasting will harm her baby or not. Does she still have to fast?
Well, if she has reasonable grounds to fear that fasting would harm her baby, then it's not obligatory to fast. And if there's no such ground, there's no likelihood or fear that it might cause any damage to the baby or to the mother's health, which ultimately will have bearing on the child's health, then of course she must observe fast. Because I've seen many women who are very strong, very sturdy, and very healthy. Mm-hmm. Fasting does not affect their health.
Right.
And so they have to fast. It's not, when there's genuine fear that it might damage the mother's health and as a result the child's health,
mm-hmm.
of course, she does not have to fast.
I see. A pregnant woman fasted, Sheikh.
Yeah.
When she delivered, the baby was found dead. Means that there was a miscarriage.
Yes.
From the beginning, she had thought that her fasting might be harmful, but she fasted nevertheless.
The
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
among the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qiraati. Please stay tuned. But why this holy month was called Ramadan? Because it burns away the sins. Also, we read in hadith says that there is a zakat for everything, and the zakat of the body is fasting. Also, at the end of the holy month of Ramadan, the Muslims have Eid al-Fitr. This Eid is in fact a celebration of our servitude to Allah. No happiness is better than celebration for servitude to Allah. Also, you as a Muslim must pay zakat al-fitriyah and share your wealth and money with the needy ones. One of the most important benefits of fasting is sympathizing with the needy. When people fast, both the rich and the poor experience hunger and thirst. Although there are many benefits for body when people fast. The achievements that were fulfilled during the holy month of Ramadan must be kept alive after Ramadan too. This means that the good habits during the holy months of Ramadan must not be left after this holy month is finished. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
عید الفطر In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, this is the second part of the two-part program on عید الفطر. If you remember, we said yesterday that Eid al-Fitr is one of the great Islamic feasts and it is very important for Muslims all over the world. Yet, unlike feasts and happy occasions in other communities, Muslims mark their feast, including this one, with prayer and worship of God. This is a kind of thanksgiving before God as He has helped us to fast in the blessed month of Ramadan and worship Him more than other junctures in the year. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in a hadith, "Look, this day is a day which Allah has made it a feast for you and made you deserving towards it. Thus, remember Allah so that He will remember you and call Him so that He will answer you." Remembrance of Allah and supplication to Him is the most important support for human being. But the point to note is that this supplication and relation with God should be accompanied with action. Invocation to God without obeying His commands is like taking the prescription from the doctor and putting it in your pocket. Will this prescription cure you? For sure, you won't be cured unless you fill the prescription and take the medicines. Eid al-Fitr is a great religious ceremony to gather Muslims to praise God and pray to Him. but they are obligated to pay zakat too. This zakat is paid to solve the problems of the poor and the needy. It has other usages too, like revival of the spirit of cooperation, addressing the health, hygienic, and cultural conditions of Muslims. It can be consumed for helping debtors to pay back their debts. It can also be used for building mosques, schools, bridges, hospitals, and so on. Zakate Fitre can be used for bolstering religious beliefs of those with weak faith and help remove ideological ambiguities which are spread by enemies. Paying this zakat, Muslims are indeed putting into practice part of the prayers which they use to read during the month of Ramadan. If zakat is paid with the pure intention of satisfying Allah, it will pave the way for spiritual growth and proximity of Allah. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Make yourselves light to reach your destination." It means that with a light spirit, one can fly towards perfection and get closer to God. Basically, the word aid stems from the root of aud, meaning to return. Accordingly, the days in which a nation or community triumphs and returns to the previous successes are called aid. Eid al-Fitr is the day of unity of Muslims against injustice and oppression. In view of this, the leader of Eid al-Fitr congregational prayer points to the problems and needs of Muslims in Islamic and non-Islamic countries. He touches upon current issues of Islamic communities, such as their relations with other communities and nations, and the intervention of foreigners and ill-wishers. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, once said in the sermons of Eid al-Fitr prayer, "Today, in the international political scene, governments and global powers, on the one hand, and nations and massive popular communities, on the other, there are both beautiful and ugly features. Beautiful features are awakening of nations, Muslim nations' inclination towards Islam and tolerance of the oppressed. And ugly features are oppression of oppressors, bullying of bullies, and conspiracy of ill-wishers of nations." Dear friends, this bullying has been manifested in the region where the inhabitants of Gaza and Rafah will see Eid al-Fitr, while their homes and hearths have been destroyed by the Zionist regime and they have no food and medicine. The ongoing condition in Gaza is an indescribable catastrophe, thought it has fallen on deaf ears and blind eyes, especially among those whose claim of human rights and rights of children and women has deafened world ears for decades. How can one be a Muslim and keep silent and indifferent towards the children who are innocently massacred by Israeli butchers, while their mothers are patiently kissing their children's bloody and soiled faces, asking for help from God? The bombers and fighters of the Zionist regime fly every day over Gaza. They demolish mosques and massacre patients in hospitals. Yet, Gaza has stood robustly like a mountain. This steadfastness has perplexed and maddened the Zionist regime. However, it has doubled the responsibility of Muslim brothers. Muslims are duty-bound to do whatever they can for Gaza. The resistance and the steadfastness of the people of Gaza and the support of nations for them shows that there is a bright and promising future, the future of peace and justice, the future of punishing the Zionist criminals and their supporters everywhere. Allah has stressed the victory of the faithful and seekers of truth in several ayahs of the Noble Quran. For instance, in ayah 24 of Surah Shura, Allah says, Allah will efface the falsehood and confirm the truth with His words. He also says in ayah 11 of Surah Anbiya, How many a town we have smashed that had been wrongdoing, and we brought forth another people after it. May Allah favor Muslims to see the liberation of Quds and Palestine with the annihilation of the cancerous tumor Israel. Amen.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawda'a al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaw.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety. This is Dialogue. An introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was a pure source of wisdom and knowledge. Despite his young age, he showed what divinely gifted knowledge really looks like. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the 10th divinely appointed successor of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. After Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered with the answers of an expert the most difficult of questions posed to him by the Shia scholars and jurisprudents, the Shia leaders at that time had more faith and certainty now of what they had previously believed, that a divinely appointed Imam must have the most knowledge, and he must be the most knowledgeable one of his time, regardless of whether he is young or old. And so the knowledge, virtue, and the delving into the sciences of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam astonished the minds and sparked meetings and gatherings in all parts of the Muslim world. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام على أئمة الهدى ومصابيح التجى وأعلام التقى وذوي النهى.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal ma'rifah.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be upon the Imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, His select, His party, the case of His knowledge, His argument, His path, His light, His proof. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the dialogues of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. He is the 10th divinely appointed Imam alayhi salam, and he, of course, is the 10th divinely appointed successor to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So here that we are talking about this dialogue which Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam had with one of his companions. And so here he was talking about intention, he was talking about niyyah. We had talked a little bit about it in a previous program, but this concept and this idea of niyyah and intention is incredibly important, because we find in many of the traditions, and including this part of the conversation of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, that niyyah and intention is this very basis and foundation for the acceptance of our deeds, right? And so if our deeds are not based upon a sincere intention, then our deeds and, of course, our intention both are not accepted. And so Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he talked to the companion, he said that whoever does a thing without intending it by his heart sincerely, it shall not be accepted from him. And that Allah does not accept from a human being any deed except that deed which has sincere intentions. And then he says that this is what Allah has said about the hypocrites in the Holy Quran. When Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they say with their mouths, they speak what is not in their hearts, meaning it's not sincere, and Allah is best aware of what they conceal. So this is a very real life example of a situation where our intention and our niyyah is really what it matters fundamentally, and then the action, you know, is a consequence or a manifestation of that niyyah. So if we're doing something to show off, it's not going to be accepted. If we're doing something to be a fake
or a fraud, it's not going to be accepted. And God forbid, if we are saying something we don't even believe in our heart, then well, that definitely is not going to be accepted. So we have to be very careful when it comes to our intention and make sure that it is sincere, it is for the right reasons, it is for the sake of Allah, it is for the satisfaction of Allah, it is in order to be of obedience to Allah, right? We want to attract the satisfaction and contentment of Allah with our good deeds, and of course even refraining from bad deeds. We refrain from bad deeds for the sake of Allah. It is these deeds based upon this sincere intention and niyyah which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en/call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Congratulations to everyone for completion of 30 days of fastings and observing the rituals of the month of Ramadan. Whether, depending on where you're located in this world, whether today is your Eid or you have already celebrated your Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak to each and every one of you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us another opportunity and more opportunities in our lifespan to inshallah go through Ramadan and stick to the sweetness and achievements of this holy month throughout our entire life, and make beautiful habits of this month to be constant and permanent and stable and enhanced for the remainder of our lives. We have been together talking about the du'as of the beautiful book Sahifa Sajjadiyah, the legacy of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and we got to the part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being called by this title, وَيَامًا وَعَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بِتَفَضُّلِهِ حُسْنَ الْجَزَاءِ. Oh, he who has pledged himself by his gratuitous bounty to give them excellent repayment. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know him right, he is known by repaying you excellently, better than anyone else, better than any other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. He creates us and he let us grow, and then for all the blessings and all the na'amat that he has given us and he has bestowed us with, he will repay us the best and the most excellent way. Let's take a break and come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
Alright, respected listeners to RIB English Radio, indeed you are enjoying your time of Eid with your family, friends, with your community members, the members of your local masjid that you've been becoming almost like a family in the past 30 days. This part of the dua, the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam calls upon Allah by this title, وَيَا مَنْ وَعَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بِتَفَضُّلِهِ حُسْنَ الْجَزَاءِ, O he who has pledged himself by his gratuitous bounty to give them excellent repayment, reminds me of a beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says in that hadith, مَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْقَلِيلِ مِنْ أَمَلِهِ أَذْهَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا أَرَادَ النَّاسِ بِالْكَثِيرِ مِنْ أَمَلِهِ فِي تَعْبٍ مِنْ بَدَنِهِ وَسَهَرٍ مِنْ لَيْلِهِ أَبَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُقَلَّلَهُ فِي عَيْنِ مَنْ سَمِعَهُ. There's a beautiful hadith that means, whoever does a little deed for God the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him more than what he wanted. And whoever does a lot of his deed by enduring physical suffering and staying up late for people, God Almighty will show his deeds in the eyes of those who they hear his actions to show little. This is the consequence of working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little for him will become much, and much for the people will be zero. Because who is going to be able to recognize your work? Who has that power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who has that ability? Who has the ability to thank you and appreciate you truly for what you have done except the one who is Almighty, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then after calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these beautiful titles, there is a turning point in the dua. Then Imam says, وَمَا أَنَا يَا بِأَعْصَى مَنْ أَسَاكَ فَغَفَرْتَ لَهُ. O Allah, I am not the most disobedient of those who have disobeyed you, and whom you hast forgiven, or you have forgiven. Let's take a break to think about these terms and come back.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Our respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, the program Bridge is having reached the final portion of this episode. Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, says, "Ma ana bi'asa man asaka faghafarta lah." If someone is reciting this part of the dua with a beautiful voice, with a beautiful tune, this should be enough to bring, to burst us into tears. And Imam Zainul Abidin says, "I am not the most disobedient of those who have disobeyed you and whom you have forgiven. O Allah, I know there have been people with much worse of actions, yet you have forgiven them." It's good to remember stories of someone like Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, the individual who stood against Imam Hussein alayhi salam and did not allow Imam Hussein alayhi salam to move a step beyond Karbala, said, "I have been commanded to keep you in Karbala." And if he wasn't there, maybe we can say this certainly, that the tragedy of Karbala wouldn't have taken place. But all of a sudden, on the very final night before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the land of Karbala, he was reminded by the help of God that he has done a great mistake. What did he do? He returned to Imam Hussein, and he became the very first martyr on the day of Ashura. So it is him that if we return to, he will accept us. And it's good to remember that, "O Allah, ma ana bi'asa man asaka faghafarta lah." I'm not still the worst person that you have forgiven. So there is this light of hope in my heart. Keep that hope alive. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را. یا
In the limelight.
The all-encompassing Red Sea blockade enacted by Yemen has redefined the geopolitical dynamics. The act of resistance, prompted by Israel's genocide against the people of Gaza, has shaken the Tel Aviv regime's market while dealing a serious blow to the fallacy of American and Israeli invincibility. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, "It was not long ago when Washington, with its fleet of advanced battleships and aircraft, ensured that its Israeli partners could enjoy free sailing and unfettered access to the world market via the Bab al-Mandab Strait. Now that sense of security is gone forever. In November, Yemen, led by the Ansarullah movement, began targeting ships linked to the US and Israel with an arsenal of advanced homegrown missiles and drones. Yemen asserted that these operations will stop the moment the aggression on Gaza stops and aid is allowed in, which is fulfilling its international duty to prevent the crime of genocide under UN law. the U.S. responded by creating a maritime alliance of dwindling powers and unseasoned militaries to stop the Yemeni military, dubbing the unimpressive operation Prosperity Guardian. Prosperity Guardian fell apart before the first ship sailed. Spain, Italy, France, and Australia rejected specific requests for personnel and warships. Even more pathetically, Estonia decided to send a record-setting one person to assist the U.S. embarrassing task force. The U.S. and the U.K. were left alone to take the lead and carry out aggression on Yemen in retaliation for the blockade imposed on their key ally, the regime in Tel Aviv that lacks legitimacy. The aggression launched jointly by the U.S. and the U.K., coupled with some treacherous Arab regime, assistance from Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Bahrain began early on January 12th. Now, less than 4 months into defending international commerce, the US is backpedaling. It was evident last week when US envoy to Yemen, Tim Lenderking, made this very revealing remark to Reuters. "We favor a diplomatic solution. We know that there is no military solution." Indeed, the United States military solution has failed. Despite bombings of civilian infrastructure and the killing of several Yemeni military personnel, Yemen has been able to effectively continue its blockade throughout the U.S.-led aggression. Not only are Zionist-linked ships targeted with appropriate missiles and drones to prevent access to Bab el-Mandab Strait, but Yemen has made direct hits against U.S. warships as well. U.S. officials are also floating the idea of removing Ansarullah from the State Department's designated list of terrorist groups, as the State Department hopes to use its power over sanctions and the global trade norms to entice Yemen into allowing the return of Zionist commerce. This is a bloody nose to the image of the United States, whose military bases clutter the region with false promises of security for host countries. The United States has lost global support, barely able to pull together a task force of interested countries. Now, it cannot even stop a war-torn country by itself, despite engaging in criminal targeting of civilian infrastructure and ports used to bring in food and aid. The myth of U.S. naval supremacy has been shattered. Furthermore, Yemen's extraordinary bravery is seen, acknowledged, and admired by millions of people around the world who oppose U.S. hegemony. U.S. officials issued a series of warmongering statements leading into Operation Prosperity Guardian, but Yemen has humbled it and proved yet again that the U.S. is nothing but a paper tiger. Yemen survived nearly a decade of U.S.-backed Saudi aggression, which forced conditions such as an acute starvation and disease in many parts of the poorest Arab country. The U.S. State Department removed Ansarullah as a designated terror group in 2021, but retained the label this year as they sought to stop the Yemeni blockade. Yemen has already survived this designation and aggression, and now it is taking it on again in solidarity with the Palestinian cause. Simultaneously, the U.S. is now in a critical spot. The admission that Yemen cannot be stopped militarily begs the question, what can be done to return trade to normal? The impacted route has blocked Israel's third busiest port, the port of Eilat, from conducting any trade. The port has been effectively shut down, with half of its employees being laid off. Eilat has also come under attack, both from Yemeni drones and rockets, as well as ones from the Iraqi resistance. Since the start of the Red Sea blockade, the port has seen an 85% drop in its activity. Shortly after the U.S. plea for diplomacy, Yemeni spokesman Muhammad Ali al-Houthi announced that Yemen is far from done with its resistance operations. He remarked, "From the coast of the Red Sea or from outside it, we can achieve the goals we want in defense of our country and support of Palestine. We still have many military surprises, and there are military operations that we are keeping secret as part of a specific media strategy. The missiles that have been used against U.S.-Israeli vessels, including warships, are advanced, but they are far from Yemen's best. In military parades held throughout the years, and even in some of the weekly Friday rallies in support of Palestine, Yemen has displayed some of its powerful weaponry. Just last month, Ansarullah announced the successful test of a hypersonic missile, something the U.S. does not even have despite much hyped and much advertised military prowess." Yemen's fierce resistance to U.S. threats has top U.S. admirals reassessing their own capabilities. In their own admission, the U.S. has not fought a naval battle of this caliber since the Second World War. The United States must now risk embarrassing itself further and strengthening the image of the axis of resistance, or real in its Zionist partner in crime. Meanwhile, global support for Yemen is surging as the heroic fighters tighten the blockade against U.S. and Israeli-linked ships. Yemen is not interested in diplomacy with genocidal regimes. As Ansarullah leaders have stated time and again, all that needs to happen for the resistance operations to stop is the withdrawal of Zionist regime troops from Gaza, a lasting ceasefire, and the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. These demands are clear and firm. Yemen will only double down on its resistance, not falter.
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadamiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mulawi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Being more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Fadai and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another personality, another Shaheed al-Mughawama, this time from Pakistan. He is no one but Sayyid Arif Hussain Husseini. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the Shaheed al-Mughawama, about his early life and education, especially Sayyid Arif Hussain al-Husseini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Arif Hussain, son of Sayyid Fazl Hussain, was born in 1946 in a village called Pivar, which is part of Parachinar state or region in northern part of Pakistan. Of course, the family of this great personality, was among the religious figures and Sadat of that area. Actually, when he was a child, of course, he was in that village and learned Quran al-Karim and the primary kind of religious studies, studies from his father, and then went to the madrasa or school.
Yes.
School, actually, in the same place, I mean, Parachinar. So in 1343, he got his certificate from the high school, and then moved for Islamic, let's say, studies or Hawzawi studies. Sayyid Arif al-Husseini went to Najaf and for, let's say, advanced studies, Islamic studies, and attended the classes of the great scholars there, like Ayatollah Madani or Mudarris al-Afghani and Sheikh Ashraf Isfahani, Ayatollah Murtazawi. These are the great scholars who were among the teachers and, let's say, masters of his studies in Hawzawi lessons in Najaf al-Ashraf.
Yes.
And then later he got familiar with the late Imam Khomeini, radwanullahi ta'ala alayh. And he attended the congregational prayers of the Imam,
yes.
The prayers led by Imam at that time. And of course, step by step, he got more and more familiar with the late Imam al-Khomeini,
yes.
And got his wakala.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he was actually there together with Imam and supporting Imam al-Khomeini at yes. that time in Najaf.
Okay, thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice introduction. And Shaykh Fadai, as Shaykh Rouhani said, a kind of wakala or ijaza, in fact, was given to Sayyid Arif Husseini by the late Imam Khomeini, somehow acting as a representative in Pakistan. So give us a picture of Pakistan on that time. I mean, I think that familiarity with the ideas and thoughts of the late Imam Khomeini also made a revolution among the Tulab and the Hawzawi students of Pakistan too, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Shaheed Sayyid Arif Husseini was the first Pakistani clergyman and scholar who got wakala, an attorney from Imam Khomeini. You know, in our fiqh, Marja received a lot of money, mm-hmm. not for himself, but to spread these money to the Islamic society, to help the society in different kind of way. And he can make some attorney, he can have some attorney and wakil,
yes.
For himself in order to do his job in other cities and other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the marja of Shia are so sensitive about that.
Mm-hmm.
They do not give this wakala to anyone.
Okay.
The one should be completely familiar in the field of knowledge, in the field of taqwa, and they should be trusted by that marja.
Yes.
Sayyid Arif Husseini was in this level, mm-hmm. at that time, and Imam Khomeini was so sensitive to whom he gives the wakala. And you know, in Pakistan at that time, the government was dictatorship.
Okay.
And they didn't observe the rights of Shia, and even we can say Muslims, because maybe at the beginning Pakistan was formed in order to have the different states for Muslims.
Yes.
But after the power of Britain on mm-hmm. in the Pakistan, okay. we can say that they westernized Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
More than be Islamized.
Yes.
But some figures like Sayyid Arif Husseini, they could change this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
They could revive the Muslims.
Yes.
In that country. He became familiar with Imam in Najaf, and Najaf at that time was the main Hawza. And we can say all the important Islamic figures,
yes.
with the spirit of liberty and fighting with the arrogance and istikbar, they were affected by Imam Khomeini,
mm-hmm.
whether in Najaf,
yes.
or in Qom, whether directly or indirectly. And Sayyid Arif was one of the figures who had a relationship with Imam and was affected by him. And he was arrested in Iraq.
Yes.
Because of his revolutionary kind of thought and fighting with Saddam regime. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting to know that even